Welcome to the Unstuck Podcast. I'm your host, Sean Miner. This weekly no-fluff mindset show arms you with the practical tools you need to get unstuck so you can get exactly what you want out of life. Remember, when you change your mind, your life will follow. Let's get into today's episode. Hey there, friends. Thank you so much for tuning back into the Unstuck Podcast. So happy to have you here and welcome. I am Sean, your host on Unstuck, and today I'm going to introduce you to Cassie Arora. So thrilled for you all to hear from Cassie. I actually really wanted to have her on selfishly, to be honest, because she is an astrologer and it's something that I don't know that much about, which you'll find out in this episode, because I really kind of wanted this 101 level of astrology just for my own sake. And I thought you guys might be interested to hear it as well, because I've had a little bit of experience with astrology, but honestly didn't have a great experience, which I talk about with Cassie. And so I just wanted to pick her brain a little bit. But what I didn't know was going to come from this episode and this chat with Cassie is learning so much more about trauma and about how that really can impact someone from a very young age and how it can be really hidden, especially with body type stuff, with over controlling your food, with over exercising, with just really trying to have control over something. And for a lot of people, it does come to the things they can control around their body. So we talk about that a lot. And I really enjoyed her story. I think you guys are really going to enjoy her story too. I so appreciate her vulnerability, and I think you will too. So without any more chatting on my end, let me introduce you to Cassie. Cassie Arora is a no BS astrologer, Reiki master, yoga teacher, and holistic trauma coach who empowers women to heal fully and get unstuck from the root cause of their trauma and shame so that they can live a deliciously abundant, limitless, and liberated life. She gives no BS practical astrology updates, wellness wisdom, and growth bombs on her podcast, Modern Goddess. You can check out her astrology courses and readings on her website, CassieArora.com. You can also find her on Instagram at I am Cassie Arora. And without further ado, let's chat with Cassie. Cassie, thank you so much for being here on the Unstuck Podcast.
Thank you for having me. I'm super excited.
I'm so excited to chat with you. I love your energy. I love your spirit. I love everything you have to say. Just, it feels so easy to chat with you. We've talked before on your podcast, and mm-hmm. we'll talk more about that, I'm sure. So we already have this connection and we just have really good conversation and it just flows. So I'm excited to see where this goes today.
Yes, me too.
So of course, we need to know a little bit more about you. Tell everyone who you are, where you came from, what you've been up to, what you do now, all that good stuff.
I mean, I won't get into super depth, but...
don't worry. If there's things I want to know more about, I'm going to pull it out of you. So
That's fine. I'm
okay, good.
It. Okay. I'm an open book. So my name is Cassie. I'm an astrologer and a holistic integrative coach. So I mainly work with trauma to really help women overcome disordered eating, body shame, self-hate and anxiety so that they can really step into their magnificence, you know, because I believe that beyond all the layers of stuff, we are a diamond in the rough. And that's kind of what I do, is take away all that stuff that isn't you, so we can discover who you really are, who you really, really are. So yeah, that's right. Kind of what I do. And yeah, I kind of got to that. My background is, you know, similar maybe to you and some of your listeners, moving through fitness. I had a very severe exercise addiction, very severe anorexia, was very suicidal. I had a lot of grief in my childhood and suffered a lot of abuse growing up, like a lot. And really up until the age of 21 was when I hit my rock bottom. And after that, it was a slow journey to heal, but along the way of realizing I'm like my eating disorder, which was a lot of things, as you know, it's not just the food, was really the biggest awakening and was my biggest gift that ever happened. And so now I like to really, I guess the word would be empower others to really step into their sovereignty, because I think we all deserve that level of support to truly heal, you know, in the sense mm-hmm. of actually heal, not like just surface level, which is definitely being sold a lot these days. But yeah, mm-hmm. so that's a bit about me, I guess.
Yeah, that is so great to start out with. I would love to know more about what you just said, which is that your eating disorder, which most people wouldn't necessarily consider this, but now that you are where you are, was your greatest gift. It was really like this huge turning point for you. So much came out of that to be where you are today and learning so much more about yourself. And I'm assuming probably uncovering a lot of that trauma that you did have and was probably just buried deep within you. So I'd love to know more about what that looked like for you. If you can go into more of that journey for us.
Yeah. So when I was about four, this is a really long journey, but when I was about four, I remember just being like, I really liked food. Like mm-hmm. who doesn't like food, right? Food's amazing. But
yes.
Yeah, I think my mom was really, really poor. And so we would have like a lot of processed food. Like I think my mom definitely wouldn't eat a lot of times so that we could eat. And we would eat like, I remember a lot. Oh, they make me sick now. Do you remember the hot dogs in like water?
Yes.
We would have those with like, oh, so vile, with super noodles. So mm-hmm. like we would definitely budget living. But as we kind of, I remember food was like something that was like scarce. So then when I did get it, I would definitely like eat a lot more. And like my mum was always working from home because my dad left when I was born. And my mum was always working from home and she would like hide crisp packets and like crisps like on top of the fridge. And she'd be like, because she was too busy working and we had nothing else to do.
Mm-hmm.
We being me and my brother, well, he would actually have friends, but I was like literally alone. So I'd get home from school and I would want to have a snack. But then because she started hiding food, it just kind of became like I was really into food. And food was the only time I felt safe. And when you think about trauma, it makes complete sense because everything else in your life is not safe. And if we look at like reptilian brain and survival, well, if I haven't got shelter, if my dad's not around, if I feel fearful all the time, well, food at least is one box you can tick. So that kind of like was part of it. And anyway, as I grew up, I was like a lot bigger than other kids because I was like a really high performing musician. I was like one of those child prodigies for music. So that's a hobby where you sit down a lot. Like I was sitting down playing the flute or playing piano like all the time, every day. So a sport didn't really come into it. And I was scared of sports because I was scared of people laughing at me because I was in a big body. So anyway, my identity really up until the age of 11 was like the fat kid. But everyone said, well, you're nice. But I was scared of everything. I was really intelligent and I was a high achiever. And like, that was who I was, like the fat kid that worked really hard. Like, that's not me being like derogatory, but those are the words mm-hmm. I would have used.
Yeah.
And then when I was 11, I really started to notice that I was different and I got quite bullied for like my size. I weighed more when I was 11 than I do now. So I was obviously like a lot bigger. But I said to my mum, can we go on a Weight Watchers diet? Because my mum was always dieting. So I was around that all the time. And we had more money by this point, a lot more. So she, in fairness, she was doing the best she could. She was like, okay. And I remember I had like a certain amount of points. And I mean, I would like eat like diet ready meals and oh God. And I did lose weight. But then I went to senior school and kind of just, I was a bit more confident then. But the turning point was really when like boys were involved and my first boyfriend came along. And all my eating disorder was around getting approval, the approval that I never got from my dad, because I was a nice person, I was funny, I worked really hard, I was a good musician. So, and I did stuff for my family. So what else could be wrong with me? Well, it must be how I look. So then I went down that path because it was like this perfectionism, I guess, you know, like, well, what can I fix? So then, you know, I had a few first boyfriends and whatever. And because my dad cheated on my mum, I actually attracted in boyfriends that cheated on me. I didn't know this, but when you're like 15, it's a really big deal. Mm-hmm. And then I got to the age of 16 and my mum, who was like the only person in the world who felt safe to me, was actually being abused by my stepdad, and my stepdad was very abusive, but she was a functioning alcoholic. I didn't know this until therapy. She hid it really well. But she passed away very suddenly and it threw my world into like absolute chaos, at which point my eating disorder didn't actually kick in at all. I just started exercising more and I was like a workaholic. Like I would spend all day at school. And then when I went home, my stepdad started to be really abusive and he would like, it was horrible. It was a horrible time because I just lost my mom and that was bad enough. But then he was abusive and my whole family didn't hear me. They didn't listen. They said that I was making things up. He would lie to them. It was really messed up. And my head got really messed up at that time. And so I had a boyfriend at that time. And then it was a strange relationship, really. But when he broke up with me, it really hit me hard. And it was like a switch flipped. And I went into like mad exercise, mad low carb. I got ripped and I was muscular. And I started in England, we have like conservatoires, which are places for like musicians, for like if you want to go on to be a professional musician. And I left there and that was really my excellence. And I just left and I went to get a job in a gym because this is who I really am. Mm-hmm. It wasn't, but I was so entrenched in running away from myself that this kind of coping strategy had become my identity. And dread to think the amount of clients and metabolisms are trash, like with my terrible, terrible knowledge. And I worked my way up and I was really knee deep in it. And I was like keto in like 2008. It was just bad, but it was like bad keto. Like I got really, really sick and I was like a rake. And I remember losing my period for a long time. And around 2011, I was working overseas. I was about 21 at this point. I hit rock bottom. I had moved into like bulimia by this point. And anyway, I was making myself sick with a toothbrush. This is how desperate I was. And it went down my throat and I like nearly died. It was really scary. And I had to go to hospital and get it pulled out. It was bad. It was really bad. And that was like not really the moment I saw help, but I got sent home from my job overseas. I was unemployed. And so then I went into like binge eating. It just went on and on. So the moment where I got help was when I had kind of weight restored, but I remember like I'd gone into like spirituality and no one can see this, but I'm doing it in air quotes because it was like fake spirituality and that I was like just created a new identity. So now I taught yoga and I was vegan, and that's not saying that that's no one's true self, but it wasn't mine. I needed to always be seen as something or some role, and it wasn't who I was. Like I'm actually like quite, I don't really care for that. I'm pretty lazy and I'm not into veganism at all anymore. But I just went down that path, and there was this point where I knew like I wanted help. And so I went to see like holistic integrative psychotherapist, and I had already learned Reiki. So I was learning, I was on my Reiki path. And it's the moment I realized there was a lot more to like life than just these roles and identities. But when I say that my eating disorder was my biggest gift, it's because removing all those layers made me see that none of it was about the food. As everyone knows, it's never about the food. Mm-hmm. But it made me see how much of my life and my energy had been literally wasted and completely drowned, and all my potential was being leaked into this thing that wasn't even me, and that my body was literally just replaying patterns, and that none of that was really who I was. And it was scary because I remember a big year in therapy where I wasn't in the disorder. I was still maybe eating not as much as I should, but I wasn't really feeling like I was anyone else because I had no identity then, because I was still thinking I need to have an identity. So As I healed, it was an awakening because it made me see the real nature of like the human body and how it just goes into trauma and it's not anything of who we are. So I definitely understand holistic health on a completely different level now, like completely. And I think that's maybe will help answer your question, but
yeah, that was such an amazing story. I think so many people listening, even if it didn't go in certain directions that yours did, can really relate to a lot of what you said, especially when you look back and there was bullying and you weren't like other kids and you didn't have a lot of money growing up, at least at the beginning. And so you had, you know, food was scarce. So that made it that much more important. That made it that much more secure to you. And being able to find the comfort and the security and the safety in food, I think a lot of people can relate to that. And it really is a place where then we do always have this weird extra connection to food than we probably should, or that is even healthy. So I really think that sharing, thank you so much for sharing that story, because I think people will really connect with that for sure. So you say that, you know, you had that turning point where you started going to therapy, I believe, and started looking at this and realizing that there was this onion kind of that you had to keep pulling back layers and layers and layers of yourself to find out what was really going on and what you were really after and seeking in your life, and how there's so much more going on than just the food or just the dieting or anything like that. But I want to make sure that people understand it's not just like a week-long process where you're like, oh, this is all it is. I just have to do this instead or whatever. So this is like ongoing, and I'm assuming it's something you're still very much focused on and it's very much a part of your life today. So you had that kind of rock bottom moment that then pulled you out of. And was it therapy that got you started on this journey? Like you found a therapist that actually helped you through this, or what was it?
I went to like counseling and stuff, but it was crap. It was surface level, and you can't, like, you just, for me, I needed something that was like nothing else. And obviously spirituality is important to me. Astrology was big, and Reiki, because they helped me see the components of my being. I was like, okay, that's why this is. It's literally in my soul's map that I should be experiencing this. So that was powerful to say, well, actually that means that the other way could be my power. So maybe I should go to therapy. So it kind of gave me impetus. But And I do think you need to have some hope at the end of the tunnel always. But with therapy, in response to your question, it was a long, long, long journey. And I found my therapist because I wanted to find an integrative approach that was not drug-based. It pulled in diet, water, environment. But the big key piece was the trauma. And when you've had trauma and abuse, I don't think you even know that you've got it, because abuse, you're led to believe it is your fault. And like the mindset is you are literally walking around the world like an apology. You literally say sorry instead of hello. It's like it's literally inbred into you that you are a mistake. I remember the first time my therapist said, well, shame is the belief that you are a mistake and something about you is wrong. And I was like, oh my God, you actually understand me. Well, I didn't know any of this. So it was powerful. But I think the biggest thing that, like, I see it now is like vibrationally where I was attracting in all these experiences, like had no money, had terrible relationships, my health was really poor, just everything. And slowly but surely, even though it was messy and I went backwards and forwards, it was like a spiral, you know, it like kept getting better because I was coming around to the same place, but then I would spiral and expand outwards. And so I still think of it now as a spiral, but as your vibration shifts and when you work through the trauma, you know, you might say this about abundance because I love your money mindset things, but I always say that abundance is like something we plug into by shedding the layers, because sometimes we're so busy trying to plug into it without realizing all the stuff like we are in now. So you can't grow without seeing all of your clutter and the skeletons in the closet, because then... the, like you just can't. So I think the therapy was the turning point, but I was in there intensive for 4 years every week. Mm-hmm. And so now, like, when it comes to like up leveling my business or up leveling like a money goal or up leveling in my relationship, the approach doesn't change. It's the same tools, but I couldn't do that if I hadn't had those tools, if I didn't understand. I think people sometimes have this illusion that it's going to be like one boot camp or mm-hmm. one book or one thing that will change it, but it's not the truth, you know, it's really not. And I was very blessed to find the Reach approach. They are like born in the UK and they're just an incredible organization. We've got the most cutting edge therapeutic techniques on the planet. There's just nothing like it, but it wasn't easy. And it definitely wasn't like a case of the emotional freedom technique or visualizing, but I was really messed up. And so it's possible that I could be wrong for other people, but I was really messed up. So I probably needed that.
Well, and no matter what, I think everyone needs to have kind of a toolbox, like their own toolbox. And it may be one thing, but more than likely it's going to be several different things. And it's going to be things that you run into in just the right time at just the right moment in your life. So it may start off as one thing. And then, mm-hmm. like you said, it's that spiral effect where then you raise your vibration to be ready for the next thing and then the next thing and the next thing, to where it all mm-hmm. just flows in as it's supposed to. But it's just being in the journey forever, essentially, just always being there and knowing it's a lifelong process and a lifelong journey. So I am curious though to know when astrology came into your life and how that happened, how you were able to find that to be your tool.
Well, I was into it a lot as a kid, like really into it. And then I got really materialist. When my mom died, I was like, you know, it's all a load of crap. There is no God. If there was a God, he wouldn't treat me this way. You know, just really juvenile thinking. But when I was 21, and that's when I got into Reiki, because this random man came up to me when I was teaching a yoga class in Tenerife and was just like, you need healing. And I was just like, who is this crackpot? But actually, when I had that Reiki treatment and everything changed, I was like, I cannot explain what just happened. So that was the point, everything changed. And then, yeah, as I got into Reiki, I just thought, well, what else is out there? And astrology, I kind of got back into. But when I really looked into it, I was like, holy crap, this is dead accurate, like deadly accurate. So maybe for like 5 years, I've been learning astrology, you know, seriously. You will never learn all of it, because it's like tarot and anything occult sciences. It's like there's always a level of mystery to it. You can never quite put your finger on it, because astrology is just all archetypes. But the good thing about that is you know the predominant archetype that's going to show up in your life over and over again, and how to actually work your astrology chart to actually be more successful. And I say that in like all the ways, because the reason that my life was a mess was because of my dad. So anytime that I'm having problems in my life, I will call my dad. Now, my dad will never turn around and dramatically change, but I've done loads of work on a relationship without even speaking to him. And if I call him, you can bet I'll have a client sign up within a day. Mm. Out of nowhere. Like, and if I call him, like, or if I don't call him for a while, I can see like my relationship will have troubles. Not big troubles, but just he starts acting like the traits that I don't like in my dad. Mm-hmm. So he's reflecting that to me. So I'm like, okay, I need to address. So I keep working on that, because in my astrology, that's my karma, and it aspects different things. And, you know, also I know, like, I knew I was going to get pregnant. So it kind of just, it's a bit of a spoiler in that way. But also, like, you can see when you're more susceptible for fevers, or when would be a good time to initiate something in your business, or when to be more frugal with money. And sometimes it's like, well, then are you just being ruled by it? But the planets really reflect us, not the other way around. You know, it's literally a map of your soul. So I came to it. And when I really realized, like, Jung used it, you know, mm-hmm. Einstein always said astrology was incredible. And actually, at its core, it's a science. That's why billionaires use it. This is why, you know, right now, everything we're seeing in the world, they have astrologers at the top. They're not stupid. Mm-hmm. You know, it's forces beyond us, and it can be scary if you look at it that way, like, oh, everything's predestined. But also then it makes you think, well, there's just so much more that we don't know about who we are and where we come from. And then it kind of, all the little things pale into insignificance a bit.
Yeah. Oh, it's so fascinating. It's so cool. And that's why I really wanted to have you come on the show today, is to basically do a little bit of an introduction of astrology for people who have never even thought about it, or perhaps thought about it, heard a little bit about it, maybe never had their chart read, or had it once and then just kind of never thought about it again, something like that. But I'd really like to just dive into 101 level of what it, yes, what that even means. What is astrology?
Okay. Well, astrology is a map of your soul. So the moment you were born, the planets are in a certain place. And I believe, and this is, I could be wrong, but from everything I've experienced, I genuinely believe we choose to come in at a certain point in the timeline of 3D, however you want to call it. Mm-hmm. And at that moment, the planets are in a certain place and they're reflecting your inner consciousness on like a map. And the reason your inner consciousness is so important, because the ancient Hermetic principle, as above, so below, as within, so without. And you'll know this through your own journey. When you do the inner work, the outer world changes. And so with astrology, by looking at the inner stuff, we can see what will be happening in the outer stuff. But also then it means we have the power to influence our lives if we have that tool of awareness. So 101 level is, if you know your astrology, you can make your life better without kind of wondering, what am I supposed to do? And I feel like it's this, but I wish something would confirm it. Or why is this problem happening with my mum? And why am I so sensitive? You know, these kind of questions that we always have. Or will I ever have children? You know, or will, why has my money been this way for so long? Will that change? You know, so that's like why it's useful and what it is.
Okay. Right. Okay. But it is, okay, so it's kind of a map almost of your path in this, yeah, lifetime, based on when you were born and what, yeah, was going on as you were born.
Yeah. But you can change the outcome of it, you know, vibrationally. Okay. There's higher ways of doing your astrology and lower. So a bit, for example, the planet of the moon. Well, if we think of the moon, it's changeable. It moves, and they call it the cheater. You know, someone with a bad moon placement could be like cheated and sort of deceiving, a bit like the tarot card, the moon, which is all about deception and illusion. But the higher expression of that is knowing and cunningness and being able to move and wax and wane and be adaptable. But it's also, the moon is nurturing. It's the mother. So it, you know, it's really, really in depth. So mm-hmm. It can look, people's astrology charts can be like subjectively bad, but actually I don't believe there's a bad chart or a good chart. It's just like, mm-hmm. It is what it is.
Yeah, exactly. And so astrology is based on the moon and the planets and,
yeah, the planets.
Okay, so can you dive into a little bit more about that?
Yeah, so in your astrology chart, it's like, it looks like a pizza slice when we look at it, because it's a map of the sky. Like a pizza, not a pizza slice. But it's like a map of the sky and where the planets are placed. The planet is the experience you will have. The area of the sky it's in is how that experience will be. So say, I mean, if we look basic horoscopes, which are rubbish, by the way, if anyone the sun, which is the experience of how you kind of shine and how you're kind of showing up, and it's kind of the most base, it's not even so much more who you really are, it's how you're showing up. And the sun might be placed in Capricorn, and then you would be like showing up with Capricornian traits. And so that's like hard work, diligence, sternness can be cold, but it's best, it can be someone that has a growth mindset and is actually very, can create a container and create structure, you know. Or there's like the moon, which is how you really are, like deep down, in Pisces. So your sun might be in Capricorn and everyone's like, well, you know, Cassie's really contained and structured and hard worker, and she, you know, she doesn't let her emotions show, she's not emotional. But my moon might be in Pisces, and that's where I am at home. And your moon is who you really are when it's like you and your partner, or when it's you in your home and with your close friends. And that's actually completely opposite. Pisces is sensitive, intuitive, plugged into everything, wants to escape. At its worst, it's addictive and wants to escape because it's like needs to connect. Whereas that it's the experiences when you're with friends, which is your moon, or with family, or how you nurture people, is with like complete unconditional love. And it's like, you know, you're more sensitive and attuned. So you have these two things going on, and already that's just two things, when in fact in your chart there's, you could look at so many different things. There are more than just the planets. You know, we do obviously Mercury down to Pluto, but we look at asteroids, we look at things called vertexes, and we look at things like the North and South Node, which are never really looked at, but they're really powerful. So it is the planets, and they are in certain parts of the sky, and that brings different energies and qualities, basically, if that helps. Mm-hmm.
Oh, that just helped me so much, because my partner talks all the time about how she's blah, 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 moon sign, and her sun signs, blah, blah, blah. And I had no idea what she was talking about. I'm like, I just know I'm a Capricorn because that's when I was born. You know, I didn't know what that actually meant. That just made so much more sense to me. And I honestly didn't know that when it is something like Capricorn, Virgo, Leo, that is really showing where in the sky. So that's kind of like a map of the sky.
So, you know, do you have that sky scanner app where you, not sky scanner, that's the aeroplanes. The,
it's like the star.
Where you see the star constellations.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. My partner does. I don't.
Yeah, so each constellation is a different zodiac part of the sky. And actually, Western astrology is slightly off with that, whereas there's another type of astrology that literally looks, where is it in the constellation? So, for example, if someone's moon or Mars is between the horns of the bull, which mine and my partner is, literally the same, it's like people that are really horny because it's in the horns. Nice. And you might see in the horns of Capricorn, and that's associated with the devil. Mm-hmm. And so that's, you know, when you see a lot of kind of like famous corrupt elite people with that.
Gotcha. Asteroid. Okay, so give us an idea of what it's like, or what would happen if you go see an astrologer, and especially if this is just your first time. Like, here's my date of birth and time of birth, which is what you give, right? Mm. And then the astrologer takes that and creates this map, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, they create a map, but it's important that you let an astrologer know what you want to know, because there is so much that we can tell you from that chart. Like, we can tell you like about your children's job, and you know, your it's quite funny, like there's a, you can see like your neighbor's cat's best friend or something. You can really like take it that far, like really good astrologist. But it's funny, I can always see when something's going on with like my boyfriend's mum, for example, because it's in my chart. Because yeah, so you really need to be specific, because if you're not, it's, you might feel like you're not getting what you want from it, and that's not the astrologer's fault. Usually it's usually that you haven't been specific, or they're just using some weird methods, but there shouldn't really be that many there. But usually people ask the big things, like what's my life purpose, what's my career, what's the best thing for me, you know, will I find love. Honestly, I can tell you, regardless of your astrology chart, you, like, you're wasting your time a bit if you ask those big questions, because you will find love. If you want to find love, then let's work on your mindset. I don't need to look at your chart. We can look at your chart, but all it's going to say is the blockage, which we're going to have to work on that psychologically, you know? So you can ask questions like, when will I be pregnant? Or when is the best time to move? Or when am I going to move? And usually it's in the chart. It's very obvious. Or what, you know, a good question is, can you tell me about my soul's purpose? Because that is sometimes a little bit more hidden from the chart. And I do think that is something worth exploring, but it's just something I wanted to say, like, you know, if you go to an astrologer to ask those questions, it might be, feel good to have it confirmed, but really it's about you doing that inner work, because you can have anything you want, really.
Yeah. And that brings up a good point, because there's a lot of information that you can gather from astrology, but like you said, you can block it, you know, so it could be like, this is your soul's true purpose. This is what's laid out for you. But then you, your mind, all the work that you haven't done essentially on yourself could block you from actually ever doing that, right?
Yeah, but also if someone says, if someone just goes, yeah, you're going to find love, and they haven't even looked at your chart.
Yeah, that's right. Like,
yeah, find it.
Yeah, it's true.
Mm-hmm. So I'm not saying to people, don't waste your money on astrology, because it's incredible. Like, mm-hmm. it changed my life, because I just like to know that there's something bigger, and I like to think, well, what's in store this year? I like to use it predictively, like solar returns, you know, what is the year ahead for me about? Mm-hmm. You know, I just think that's a little bit, because when
that's really cool.
Yeah, when it comes to the big questions of life, they're going to happen for you. You know, if you're sitting there thinking they won't, that's the problem. Whereas then I would say, well, let's do some parts work on this, because there's a part of you that really wants it, but there's a part that thinks it's not going to happen. Well, what's that really about? Because that's a core belief. That's not your chart. So, yeah, like the thing about looking at the year ahead, that can be good, because, you know, I did it. I thought, well, what's the next year ahead for me? I was like, well, I'm either going to have a kid, or I better get creative if I don't want one, because the energy's there. But I can see that that's my focus next year, and there will be some focus on a few other things. But then, like, it was confirming, because I thought, well, it's going to happen, you know. And or you might say, well, which is the best year to focus on my work, or which is the best year to go and travel? And so it's in there, it's in the chart, you know.
And I think it's also just to know that, I think, immediately just releases some blocks and barriers, you know, just to know this is the year I'm going to focus on pregnancy and my child and things like that. It just loosens up things already to know that it is going to happen. It almost just allows us to relax about it a little bit. Just that, you know, like you said, you can pretend to look at someone's chart and be like, you're going to find love. And just them thinking that and seeing that it's in their astrology will immediately make, like, release the resistance, I guess, against it.
To what they kind of course.
So mm-hmm. I think that's really an interesting thing about it too. Now, I know when we were chatting before, you said that you can also see things in astrology based on the overall world, like the overall energy of what's going on right now. For instance, 2020, this was in the stars, right?
Oh God.
Tell me more about that.
I was on a podcast early 2020, and I was like, look, it's going to kick off. And I remember when it was all starting, and even as astrologers, like, we were learning as we went. We could, because you can read astrology, it's a map, it's a likelihood. So we was, you know, we said, because astrology is accurate but not specific. So we said unprecedented chaos like never seen before. It's going to cause a huge awakening. It's going to feel difficult. The government are going to, there's going to be some huge restriction. It's going to feel like power is corrupt. You know, and that was, and that we said, you know, March would be difficult, but September, October, mid-October would be the most difficult. And then by December, it would start to feel a lot different and more hopeful. And that's what we all said. So it was accurate, but not specific. And at the time when we saw it actually happening, it was like, oh, this makes sense. So, and what the planets represent were different elements of what we were seeing. And we are, I am 99% sure we will see another lockdown. And I think this time people will kick off. I think in America, it's going to be really challenging. Like, I think there will be lots of violence and people will start saying, no, we're not going to stand for this. Like, which in a way excites me, but we want to make sure that we are standing up for the truth in a peaceful way, because Mars is retrograde. And when that happens, whoever starts the fight will lose. So we just have to be peaceful. And I genuinely still don't know the whole truth of what's going on, and maybe I never will, but astrology, like, definitely has made me look ahead and think, well, I know that September and October and November will be hard, and that's not to be like, oh, doom and gloom. It's just a fact. But it's the labor pains, you know, giving birth isn't easy, but the what will come on the other side I think will be worth it. And it is the big end of a 27,000 year cycle. And we saw it coming. We didn't know how it would look. A few people threw around, you know, like a pandemic. But we're seeing the same energy as when Hitler came to power in September. We're seeing the same energy as the Wall Street crash. So it's just about, well, how can we equip ourselves? So for me, I got into crypto and I invested in God's money, you know, gold and silver. And I've just got some extra food, and I'm not going to necessarily go out to protest now that, you know, I'm carrying a baby. Like, obviously, mm-hmm. I'm not going to go to a protest now, but it equipped us all. But we've all been saying, well, just it will be harder in October. So think of March and April as like the training wheels. Mm. And this time now being where we really need to take strategic action, because all the cards are on the table now, but we're being brought back to them to look further. And I don't know really what the answer is, other than we use this to see what it means for us and focus on what's important for us, because we can get lost in the narrative very quickly and it's all a big illusion, you know. And I don't know what the answer is. I know it's dividing people in a way I've never seen before. It's not nice, but
yeah, it's pretty sad to see. But yeah, it's just so fascinating that I guess all astrologers and I think other energy workers were kind of predicting this, or could see that this was on the verge of happening before it actually happened.
Yeah. I mean the positive thing is I always think that, you know, this chaos, like I said, at the end of it will be, you know, new, fresh ground. You know, think of a storm, you know, when mm-hmm. a storm happens, mm-hmm. we grow new ground, and we don't bat an eyelid when nature goes mental, because nature literally doesn't care. It answers to no one. Mm-hmm. And yet when it's happening to humanity, we're like, what's going on? It's like, well, actually, can we sit back and go, well, shit, I don't have any control here mm-hmm. right now. And that makes me feel horrible. Okay, well, where in my life do I have control? And, you know, what can I do? And how can I show up? That I don't know what else we can do right now, because we literally can't do much.
Yeah, yeah. It is needing to release control about something that we don't have control over. We can control how we're going to respond and what it's going to mean for us and what we are or are not going to do in our own lives, and where can we find that control that we do have, or that sense of peace and ease that maybe we don't have on the outside right now. So I think that's super important. I want to know more about what else you do with your clients. So astrology is just one aspect of the work you do. I know you mentioned working on your mindset, so that's probably something that you do with a lot of women, but who comes in to see you, and what do you guys do together?
So often people will just book an astrology reading, and based off that, they like to work together. And how I work with people is like it's like deep shadow work. We just kind of dive right in there. And we do things like, you know, parts work, which is really powerful, and somatic work, so which is in the body. So we really just get to the roots of what's going on for that person. So if their problem is their relationship, I can guarantee it's not. It's actually their relationship to their dad or their mum that is the actual problem. And so that's where I always end up going into. So yeah, I have an inner child group coaching program, which some people choose to go into. Otherwise, it's one-to-one, and we work deeply, and people literally see huge shifts. You know, I've had people with eating disorders, but sometimes it's people who just feel like, you know, directionless, like, and we work on that, you know. But it is deep somatic work. It's all over Zoom, but it works. It's like permanent shifts week after week. And I incorporate some Reiki in there, you know, but I also do, I'm just starting my astrology school, because I want more people to be able to do it themselves. Yes. You know, so not reliant on like a reader, because it's a divination form. You know, if you can learn to read your own cards and do your own astrology, then you are essentially in a place of power, you know, and that's what I want people to be, is like sovereign. That's what I want people to be, is how can I use this information to help myself, you know? So I'm starting the astrology school in October, which is very fun. I'm very excited for that.
That is cool. So that's one of my offerings.
Yeah, you would love it.
Yeah, well, I'll share my own experience with astrology. I don't think I've shared it on the show. I booked an appointment. It was actually over the phone, I think, with an astrologer probably, 3 or 4 years ago. I told you this, I know. And I gave my place, date of birth, time of birth to her, all that stuff. And when she went through my reading, it was completely not accurate. Like, it was just nothing like me or my life or anything. And so what I think happened is the time of birth on my birth certificate was rounded. It's like 5:35. So, from what I understand, if it was really like 5:32 or 5:37 and they just rounded, then it could potentially be wrong, right? My whole chart could be off.
It could potentially be wrong, but also there might not have been what can happen is with astrologers and clients, sometimes they're not actually compatible. Mm-hmm. And what happens is like her Mercury's place may be different to yours. So it's like, but in a not a nice aspect where it's just like you're speaking two different languages and it's like, I don't know what you're saying. Mm-hmm. You know, some people like some astrologers I listen to, I'm like, don't know what you're talking about. Like, I've got no idea what you're talking about. And yet they're talking about something I know about. And I'm like, I can't even see that perspective. And other people are like, that was super deep and profound. I'm like, I don't get that. Mm-hmm. So it could have been that, you know, there was literally a mismatch in your charts. With 3 2-minutes, that's not much of a difference unless you're right on a cusp. And then it does change it. But yeah, I know. So I would.
Yeah, I could see how we just weren't a match energetically or something like that, because I didn't really feel that connection. Like I said, it was over the phone. I've never even seen her face. I have no idea what she even looks like or anything like that. It was very, it seemed very like robotic. So I think maybe it just wasn't a match, but I really want to do it again. And I totally am in agreement with you that it's would be cool to at least know kind of like what's in store for the year or what should be my focus, what shouldn't be my focus. And like you mentioned at the beginning, is this the year where I invest more in myself or maybe be a little bit more conservative with my money? You know, just certain things like that I think would be really amazing to know. And so I want to definitely get into it again. And I think knowing how to do it myself and for others too, because like you said, it's kind of something you always refer back to for yourself. It's not just like, oh, you get one reading and then you know everything about your life and what's going to happen over the next 30 years. It's like you constantly go back to it. So knowing how to do that yourself, even on a basic level, I would think would be super informative.
Yeah, it's really, honestly, it's a great tool. It's a great tool, and it's how you use it like any other tool, how you use it.
Yes, yes, for sure. Cassie, this was so much fun. You are just a joy. And thank you so much for openly sharing your story. I think that really was good for a lot of people to hear. Tell us more about where we can find you, how we can work with you, what you're up to, all that good stuff.
Thank you for having me. Well, if people are interested, I have lots of free astrology information on my website, which is cassiearora.com, or on my podcast, which is Modern Goddess. And there's a few Modern Goddesses apparently on podcasts, but Modern Goddess with Cassie Aurora, you'll find it, or just, you know, find me on Instagram. That's I am Cassie Aurora. And yeah, I'm opening up some coaching spots in October. But I will not be taking any after February 2021 for obvious reasons. And my No BS Astrology Made Simple course starts in October as well. So if anyone wants to learn astrology, then they should definitely get in touch, because I'm going to make it super simple and practical, because I believe it's made way too complicated. So it's for total beginners to really learn it, and for people that know it a bit more and want to blend it in with their business. So yeah, that's where people can find me. So I love hearing from you guys. So just reach out.
Yes. And we will have all of that linked up in the show notes so people can find you. And like I mentioned, I was on your show probably about a month or so ago. And we talked about limiting beliefs and stories and and all that stuff, especially as it relates to body and weight and food. And those conversations we love to have. So definitely go check out that episode with myself and Cassie. That was so fun over on Modern Goddess. And we'll have that all linked up in the show notes. Thank you so, so much for being here. That was great. And we'll definitely be on the lookout for that course for sure. I'm interested. So I'll be doing that. Yay. And thank you so much. And we hope to hear from you soon.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.